sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. We are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. So we invite you to join us. Why? Because sex matters. Period. Well, hello, lovely listeners. I just want to put a note out there. This is the second part of the first topic of a four-part series. So you can diagram that out if you want to. But I just, as you probably know from the title, just wanted to mention that if you're here, you might want to step back an episode and start at the beginning. This one is called Ways to Know Love is Still at Play in the Relationship. And 1 through 3 are at the end of the previous episode. So I don't want to send you away for sure, but just know if you're hopping in here, you're hopping a little bit in the middle. That being said, you're welcome to stay. Enjoy.
Number 4, no residual anger. This is that place of forgiveness. When you have anger that's just kind of brewing underneath the surface, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have probably heard that phrase about not going to bed angry.
Mm-hmm.
Super duper important to not let anger fester. Set up some sort of rule. If it's a time period, if you can't not go to bed angry, set it up that you won't let something bother you for more than 3 days. If that's what it takes you to process something, mm-hmm. You know, give yourself some personal boundaries to say, I'm not going to carry this, because that will just keep you in those low level energies, that level 1, level 2, level 3 that I was talking about. And you're already setting yourself up for loss. It's just not being able to let go of that low level energy is just a detriment. Number 5 is to always speak well of each other. This is hard because we want to have girlfriends or guy friends or whatever, and we want to commiserate, or we again go on the social media stuff like, I'm guilty of this. I have the secret group for women on my Facebook page for my business, mm-hmm. and we just talk about the things that men do that are irritating, or that, you know, or fester some discontent, or the way we may have handled some things, you know. But it's almost a commiserating, but it's to help bring, with me, it's to bring up a point or to drive to acceptance or letting go.
Well, or you know, an
direction.
An understanding, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think with some of the guys that I work with, I remember this conversation very, very in particular. He said, you know, there's not amongst us guys, us men, where there's not a lot of great productive ways to talk about our partners. Mm-hmm. And all the men that I work with are partnered with women just because mm-hmm. of the nature of the group. But the point that I thought was really interesting was his statement of, I can go to the bar and talk with my guy friends, and all, you know, I'm going to mention what's going on, and all they're going to say, yeah, she's a bitch. And I'm going to get mm-hmm. that confirmation all day long. Or I can come here and I can talk about it because I want to solve it. I want more than that. I don't want everybody to just agree that she's a bitch.
Yeah.
I want to actually talk about what's going on so I can figure out my part in it, her part, you know, and so I can try to figure out how to handle it different rather than just the negativity. And so to me, it's like, you know, that's what having good close friends is for, or yeah. can be for, you know, where you can, when you can communicate with that somebody, and it's not just only about that person's a jerk. It's about, yeah, you get your time to verbally blah.
Right.
And then,
but there's a productive outcome or an intention to just vent and do something with your, you know, your action.
Right. And sometimes you need that vent and you can move on too, because sometimes that is the productive piece you need. But it's having that ability or that space so that you can sometimes find out, or somebody can communicate with you, hey, this isn't maybe an okay thing, or what's going mm-hmm. on, or, you know, you can learn about, I mean, I've seen women learn about their relationships, abuse in their own relationship they didn't even realize because of the way they were conditioned.
Right.
That it was abuse, and had they not and you know, in some cases, not even almost sharing it, negativity. Like, wait, what's going on? Just a sec.
Yeah. No, that's very true. And in those cases, those are usually more extreme cases where people are in the denial phase of the loss and grief. I think, again, this is about knowing that there's still love in play. So if you speak highly of your partner, you still love your partner. If you're mm-hmm. constantly bitching about your partner, there may be some residual anger. There may be a disconnect. There may be a loss of respect. There may be, what kind of conversations are you having with him or her if you're just bad mouthing? What kind of tone do you have at home mm-hmm. energetically if you are harboring negative speak elsewhere? Mm-hmm. So I guess that's really kind of what I'm getting at, is just recognizing that if you're still speaking of your partner in a loving way and you think kindly of them, or you know that their intention is not to hurt, harm, or piss you off on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It happens sometimes, but but you know that the intention is pure. So there's still maybe a spark of love there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The next one is a desire to work through issues. So it's not a sweeping under the rug kind of situation. Mm-hmm. You can talk about things when something's bothering you. You're plugged into each other enough to know that each other is a safe place. And if you're having an issue, that you can go to him or her and have a conversation and work through it without judgment, without shame, without guilt, you know, so a safe place, basically. Mm-hmm. Transparency. Again, this builds trust, removes the blinders, and remember that trust takes time. So if you have earned somebody's trust, transparency should not be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sit with you?
I'm just thinking of your phrase, if you've earned somebody's trust,
transparency shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, I'm just like ringing through that through my head. Yeah, okay. That does make sense to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The next one is that there's still space to be you, that you're allowed to be yourself. And that's an honor in a relationship, if someone gives you the space to be you mm-hmm. and isn't trying to change you or fix you or make you something you're not, that means that there's a love there. Mm-hmm. Again, we go back to respect. So that's a good one too. Putting each other first. Okay, so I'll use this example. I was just during our break, I was going out and I mentioned to my husband about what we were going to have for dinner tonight. He says, well, what do you want for dinner? And I'm like, I asked you what you want for dinner, you know, so, right. And I say, and he's like, I'm happy to cook for you. You're working. I'll cook for you. What would you like? So I was not in a position where I was thinking of what I wanted. I was trying to think of providing for him. And so I blurt something out and he makes a face and I'm like, or not. And then he's like, but if that's what you want, I'll cook it. So we actually got into this cute little disagreement around putting each other's needs first, because uh-huh. I really wanted him to pick something for dinner. And then he put me on the spot to pick something, and then it wasn't exactly what he liked. And I'm considering, oh, well, that's got a little corn in it. That might upset his stomach. And so I'm going, you know, I'm backtracking, and he's like, I said I'd make it for you. I'm happy to make it for you. Take it to the bank. It's okay, you know? And so I said, okay, I'm sorry for upsetting you, because I wanted to put your needs first. And he's like, well, I'm putting your needs first. So it was like this, it was stupid, is really what it was. And it took up about 5 minutes of my time. And, but that's a very minor, trivial kind of sample. But when you see in relationships and stuff that your partner is trying to put you first regularly, that there's an effort to be putting you first, there's still love there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next one I have is gratitude, that you're grateful for your partner. Again, that idea of waking up with the intention of positivity. I'm grateful that I wake up next to this man every day. I'm grateful for my skin against his skin. I'm grateful for the way he provides for me. I'm grateful for this lovely life that we've made together. I'm grateful for our future plans, you know, just the gratitude part. And then the last one, an attempt to always try to understand. To be open-minded enough that you can try to understand where your partner is coming from instead of putting up walls and getting angry, infuriated, or shutting them down completely. This is another one. And that one has more to do with your spirit. So all of the other ones had to do with being in action or communication. This one, I feel like, is there an attempt to understand has more to do with spirit, that they're not trying to squash your spirit.
You know, as I'm listening to these, I think these are very, very good things, and I think they're very true. I also listen to them and think about how culturally we have shifted over time, and that these things are, as much as they are true, they are also learned behaviors. And in especially
they're not modeled by, and if you come from a home that has not right? modeled these behaviors, they have to be learned. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And culturally we have shifted, and you know, and men, not to pick on men, but
they're behind the women. They are.
It's the reality is they have been trained to kind of get their way. Or I was just listening to a woman who was talking about this. She was actually talking about the difference between
flirting and harassment.
Thank you. Yes. Flirting and harassment. And she was talking about just that, you know, men have kind of been trained to get their way, or to be, either there is that entitlement that they have. They don't necessarily have to think about other perspectives. And even men who are well into this world still don't have to. You know, it's an age thing. It's just a life.
I don't know that I agree with that a whole lot, though, Judy, because anybody that is working in, okay, not all areas of jobs, but soft skills are being taught all over the place. They're being taught in schools. They're being taught in colleges. They're being taught in workplaces, EQ and diversity and inclusion, and just how to treat people in general. And a lot of these things are just a ramped up version of that in a love situation.
Right. But I think that this is that's still kind of new. I think we're getting so much better. I think the younger generation, and I think you're right. I think with work training, with work and school, I mean, school, we talk about this in school, in college, much more. So I think we're on a great track.
Right.
But there has been
a lag. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the lag happened, which I talk about often, is the generational shift from the baby boomers to millennials. There was a big information gap, a huge communication, connection, relationship gap as feminism rose and the deterioration of institutions that the baby boomers were comfortable with, and the disillusion of family, of what a family unit looks like, or the reconstruction of what a family unit looks like. We've had so much transition in the area of what love relationships look like, even between a mother and a child, or who you call your mother or father, or, you know, substitute parenting, or, you know, tribal parenting, all those kind of things. And now we're just being taught what love means from person to person versus it having to be structurally in a family setting. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's a minority now to have a traditional family unit, mother, right? Father, child.
Okay. Yeah. So, I don't know what the numbers are, but that seems to be certainly, that makes sense to me.
I don't have the numbers in front of me to support that, but it's majorly on the down, it's on the decline, that the original mother, father, and a child or multiple children with the same parents makes it all the way through. And then even further is once that child is grown, that those parents stay together or they split. So they stay together for the sake of the child,
right?
Which is a commonality That happens quite a bit.
Right.
So, and this is a further question that I have is, you know, when people take marital vows and it's till death do us part, when you marry that person, 20 years later, are you the same person that they married?
Yeah, heck no, right?
No. Change happens all the time. The only constant in life is change. And people change constantly. And if you're not growing, you're dying. There's no two ways about it. So if you're not changing, evolving, growing, educating, challenging yourself, whatever, I don't know how else to say it. It's a stagnation. Okay. Right. So, as we change and grow and our life experiences happen to us, we naturally shed some of our old thinking. We shed our old feelings. We shed old relationships. This is a natural progression. The more and more that I research things, the less and less I think that we are meant to be a monogamous species, because we do not get to sexual maturity, find a mate, not the mate. We're looking for the one. That doesn't happen in nature. We would find a mate and stay with that mate until we died. That is like the swan, the lobster. You know, that is monogamy. Complete. Mm-hmm. That's the definition of monogamy. We don't do that. Right. We don't do that as we date people, we marry, we divorce, we remarry, we have flings, we do this, we do that. And that's because we're changing. Mm-hmm. Our mental pictures are changing. Our external stimulation is changing. The whole, you know, cell phones and all of that kind of stuff has totally changed the face of relationships. Mm-hmm. So I just guess I want people to know that if they're at a point where they feel their relationship is beyond repair, if they are at a place where the relationship is done, that they are feeling like it's time to walk away, that it's okay. That it's not a bad thing to make a move for your happiness, for your completeness, for your fulfillment. If you've, you know, you have to settle that for yourself. Obviously, you have to know your intentions. You have to know that perhaps you tried. You have to say, I did all I could, or that this isn't the way I want to be treated, or there's more to life out there. What is that? Is There Life Out There by Reba McEntire? I'm all full of songs today. Like song titles delightful. Are popping in my mind. Is there life out there? You know that. I see her in her little, you know, whatever she's, whatever. I'm seeing the video.
Her little pretty red hair.
Was that the 80s? Was that in the
80s? Oh gosh, it might've been 80s. I would say
early 80s, 90s.
Yeah, maybe 90s. Yeah.
Anyway.
But you know what? Another thing that I'm thinking about as you're saying this too is there's different people have different levels of commitment. Like I don't love watching people who get 100% into each relationship they have and then they have to go in a year, but because they've dove in and this is the person, this is the one, but then it's not in 10 relationships later. I mean, I think that's some self-work that probably needs to be done because you're dragging a lot of people along the emotional train with you.
That's true.
Not cool.
Very true.
You know, and then there are, you know, there is the people who can grow and change and they can grow and not exactly together, but they can still have that basis of relationship. I mean, you know, kind of like what we were talking about in the... And I know that this can be argued in many ways, but if we take and we look at the Indian marriages that we talked about of arranged marriages, and if somebody's mindset is, I am committed to this relationship and this marriage, and it's a safe marriage, and your idea is, how do we work this together? How do we how do we do this together? And so the marriage is kind of that part of the stability. I mean, for some people, that is the part. So it's not just, well, gosh, you've changed, I've changed, let's throw in the towel. It's, yep, we've really changed, but we still love the core of the person and we want to be together and we still want to do this. And people can totally do that in a great way and shift and change, but it is coming together. And it's, I think, also being open about those changes, having that safe, solid relationship that you can speak to about that, and you can talk about how do you do this and give each other room and grow together and grow differently.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be apart.
So you're right. I mean, like, honestly, at the beginning, I was saying it's all about choices, right? Everything's a choice. And when it comes down to it, you're the only one who can say if staying or leaving is going to make you happy. And is happiness what you want? Mm-hmm. And this all kind of leans into the second part of the podcast, which is leaning into your intuition and trusting yourself and your decisions. So this would probably be a great place for us to wrap up part one.
Perfect.
And we kind of discussed some of the things that might be if there isn't a loving relationship. And then we talked about a lot of the things that might be evident if there is a loving relationship. So, and there could be other stuff. Please, listeners, please feel free to comment send any alternative views on this because we'd love to hear. Judy and I are here to learn. We learn from each other. We learn from you guys. And we like to be challenged because we're always trying to grow and keep fresh on things. So
yeah,
if there's other perspectives out there, but please make sure you continue to listen to the following podcasts because we may address, you know, if you think, say right now, like, well, then you should have a different type of relationship. Well, that's what we'll get into in the next podcast. So that's, there certainly are answers and you need to be able to follow your heart and communicate those desires and then pursue your dreams or your ultimate outcome in the end.
That ends the first topic of the four-part series, knowing where you are in the relationship. Next up, we're going to talk about leaning into our intuition and trusting ourselves. And then from there, we're going to talk about knowing how to communicate what we need to communicate in an adult manner and what to do afterwards. So keep an eye out for all of that good stuff coming your way. Until then, you can check out the other episodes of the podcast at sexmatterspodcast.com. And that webpage and the show notes and on the page is a great place to ask a question. You do not have to state your name with the question. We would also love your feedback and comments. Please feel free to engage in that way. You can also check out the Facebook page, Sex Matters Facebook page. You can certainly comment on the episodes there, and you can also send a question again if you'd like to do it anonymously through the Facebook page as well. If you're on the webpage, get on the email list. Make sure that you get an email that lets you know the new podcasts are out and about. Leave a review. We would love that through iTunes. If you could, give us a review, a star review, a comment. That helps us out so much, you guys. Please do that. That would be so fantastic. It takes very little time. And again, it would be fantastic for us. You can also support the podcast via the Patreon page, which you can get through the website. If you do join the email list, I almost forgot to mention this, we will send you a PDF of Patricia's daily positive sex affirmations. You can find out more about Patricia on her main website at thepowerexchange.co, that's .co, how to work with her individually, take her courses, and see what she is up to. She also has a pretty active Facebook page, so you can check her out at Patricia Engelking or The Power Exchange. And if you have not checked out my podcast yet at wellnessrenpodcast.com, I totally invite you to just go to the webpage, check it out, and peruse through the titles and see if something trips your trigger. Love to have you communicate with me there too on the episodes and also the Facebook page, my Facebook page, Wellness Renaissance. You can search for that on Facebook. You can also find my podcast on iTunes as well. I hope you enjoyed the episode and the series. And again, we welcome your feedback and we look forward to talking to you next week. Take care.